أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم والتابعين ليوم الدين. أما بعد، إن شاء الله we going to meet a brother. This brother, he embraced Islam, and we going to see why he embraced Islam and his journey to Islam. Assalamu alaikum, brother Aisa.
Alaikum assalam.
What is your original name?
Richard Belial.
What's that?
Richard Belial. My original name was Richard Belial.
How you spell it?
B-E-L-I-S-L-E.
Mm-hmm. Where are you from, brother?
I'm from Belize, Central America.
Where is Belize exactly? Can you tell me?
It's a little bit to the south of Mexico and to the east of Guatemala.
What is the original roots of people there?
There are many mixtures of people there. The country was a colony of England for a few hundred years, up until 1981. And there are many people from English descent. There are people that have descended from Africans. There are people that have descended from the Indians, the Mayans that used to live there. And there's also many Spanish people that have come from the surrounding countries of Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador, and many of the other countries of Central America.
What's the weather there?
It's very warm. Most of the year it's like 90 degrees, 100 degrees in the summer.
Okay, because it is like in the equator.
It's close to the equator.
Very close to the equator. Meaning it's tropical.
Yes, it's tropical.
Okay. Do you born here or you born in Belize?
I was born in Belize.
Okay. How long you been in the state?
I've been living in New York since 1977 for about 24 years.
With your parents?
Yes, with my mother.
Okay. And when you start getting to know Islam?
The first thing I really heard about Islam through was when I read the autobiography of Malcolm X when I was in college. I read that, and I read about his conversion from the Nation of Islam to the real Islam, which is the Islam that I know now.
How many years is that?
That was about 9 years ago.
9 years ago. How old are you?
I'm 28 years old.
28 years old. Now, can you tell me step by step how you go to progress from reading a book until today? Can you give me like a summary of you in 9 years?
Sure. It was a very long process. But when I first read that book, it gave me some idea that Islam was a very beautiful religion, that all races, all different colors and people from all over the world all worship together and were accepted together. That was one of the first ideas I got from Islam. That to me was a very beautiful concept, and I wanted to know more about it. When I was in college in New York University, I was studying political science, and I saw they had a course called What is Islam? It was taught by a Turkish professor, and he gave me my next lesson in Islam, which basically I had to read the books that he gave us. He gave us a book of the Quran, not the full Quran, but a book called Readings in the Quran by Kenneth Craig. And it had most of the Quran in there and translated into English. And every day in class he would give us certain readings to read. He would give us hadiths to read, and he would tell us the story about the Prophet, peace be upon him, and the other early Muslims, and how Islam became such a force in the world, how it started to be spread throughout the world, and about the Quran and its meaning and the importance of it and how it was given to humanity as a gift from God. That was for me another very big step, because although I did not accept Islam and take my Shahada right then, I learned a great deal about Islam, and I found Islam to be a very interesting, and also something, not only an interesting religion, but something that I felt close to my heart as well. Many times when I felt lost or I was wondering about life, I would read parts of the Quran, not a lot of it, but just I would turn to it occasionally as a source of help. After that course, I kept on going, not so much in Islam, but I would go to church. I was a Roman Catholic. My grandmother was very religious. She used to take us to church very often. I was baptized in the Roman Catholic Church. I went through my communion, and also got my, I went and got my confirmation as well. So I was a full adult member of the church, and I used to go once in a while. But when I went to church, I found that there was just something missing. I found that if I wanted to get close to God, I didn't feel like I was achieving that going there. And I kept on going like this for a few more years, until about 2 years ago. My uncle, my closest uncle to me on my mother's side, he passed away. He died rather actually under tragic circumstances, and the whole family was very hurt, devastated, and I started questioning my life. At that time I was living a life like a lot of other young people in New York. I used to go out and drink and party and try to get as many girls as I could get and just live as wild and loose and lawless as possible. That was, for me, was the most fun thing that you could want to do. All my friends were doing that. And when my uncle died, it made me stop for a minute and wonder if I was doing the right thing, if this was what life was all about, or if there was more. And I started going to church a little more. I started spending a lot more time with my mother, my grandmother. I had a son at the time as well. I had a son, he's 6 years old now. And I found that I wasn't spending as much time with him as I needed to. I was making excuses. I always had something more important than my family or my son. And I felt that this was a big mistake, but at the same time, I continued on that path. I spent more time with them, but I still, I guess, was not ready, or maybe I was still not able to see that there was a better way. And so I kept on going. I kept on going out with my friends, drinking. I used to smoke a lot of marijuana, I guess you could call it. And I have a lot of friends that used to do that all the time. And we used to try to, you know, get away from everyday reality. We were so upset with the regular world that we would drink and we would do different drugs just to get away from the regular world. But little by little, I started seeing that this was not something that was benefiting me. I was going to law school at the time. I had finished my degree at New York University, and I found that if I wanted to finish law school, I was not doing it very well. There were many times that I used to question this, and I used to also, you know, wonder whether I was doing the right thing and try to control myself, try to calm myself down, try to find a better path. But I never was able to find it. From time to time, I'd go back to the Quran, but I didn't spend enough time on it. I was too confused. I didn't know where, basically, to turn. I took some time off from school when my uncle passed away, and I felt I needed to get my mind, my soul, everything in shape, but I still could not find the right way. I kept on going down the same path. I went back to school, but I still was not happy. I still was not getting very good grades. And I had different family members I'd stay with, and they would stay with me on vacations and things like that. I had one cousin who was very close to my age. He came and spent the whole summer with me the year before last. And up until about 3 years ago, we spoke, and we were kind of close. But then he drowned. He was on his job in Belize. He drowned out there, and the whole family again seemed devastated. He was 25 years old. He had just seemed to be starting his life, and his life was over, and we all were wondering why. We couldn't figure out, we couldn't understand what was happening, what was the meaning behind all of these things that were happening to us. Some things were good, some things were bad, but we could not make any sense of anything. We went to his funeral in Belize. The whole family all went, and it was on that trip to Belize that I started looking more and more for a reason. I started looking more and more to God. I started wondering if I could get closer to God, which I never felt I had really been able to get, if things would make more sense. So, let me backtrack a minute. Before I went to Belize, I had gone on a trip to Canada. I drove all the way from New York all the way to the end of Canada by the Pacific Ocean. It was in total about 7,000 miles. That was over the summertime. And that trip for me, it just gave me a lot of time to be away from New York, to be away from my friends, to be away from a lot of the things in my life that I was doing. And during that trip, I went and I saw my father. He was there on vacation. I saw my brothers that were on there going to school. And an interesting thing happened to me. I saw a sign when I was going through the mountains, these beautiful mountains out in the end of Canada and British Columbia. It said, "Get ready to prepare to meet God." That was what the sign said, a big billboard. And it hit me. That sign made me think for 1 minute, made me think, what does that mean? What am I going to meet? Am I going to meet God in these mountains? And as I drove through the mountains, I actually felt like the answer was yes. I felt like driving through these mountains, I felt so at peace. I felt so, there was so much beauty around me that God had created. I started feeling like God was closer to me. On the way back, when we were almost to New York already, we stopped into a hotel and I saw they had a Bible, a Gideon's Bible, that they often give away in every hotel room. So I started reading it that night. I started looking at it. I started wondering, well, maybe there might be more answers here that I haven't found. I ended up taking the Bible home. I spent the next few weeks, the next few months looking it over, hoping to find more answers. And I found some very good things. I remember reading a lot of the words of Jesus, and a lot of his words made sense to me. A lot of it seemed right. But then I read a lot of other parts that didn't quite seem like they made sense to me. So I kept on looking. And then my cousin in Belize died. I went down to Belize, and I found myself the morning of his funeral, I found myself feeling very, very sad, very depressed, very wondering what was going on. First my uncle was gone, now my cousin. He was just like my age. We had spent so much time together. And I'm wondering, well, I could be next, you know. Anyone could be next, any of my family members. And what sense does it make? Why were we here? Were we here just to make money? Were we here just to have fun? What were we here for? And I kept looking to the Bible. And the Bible, it helped me a little bit. Whenever I read the words of Jesus, I felt better. But what I did that morning, I just felt so down. I felt I needed help. So I went into my cousin Lauren's bathroom. That was her brother that had died. And I knelt down, which is something that I didn't really do before, because in church you go and you kneel, but you don't bow down. I actually bowed down on the rug. And I started praying to God. I started asking him for help. I started asking him to guide me, to give me some help, so that I wouldn't be lost. I felt like I was lost and just wandering. I felt like I didn't know where I was going. I felt like I didn't know what I should do and what I shouldn't do. I felt I was making a lot of mistakes, and I had no one to tell me or to help me to correct these mistakes. And the more I prayed, the more I started wishing and hoping that God would answer me. I remember feeling a strong feeling, though. Some kind of feeling. I can't really describe it other than I felt something important was happening, and I started crying as I was praying. I started begging God, pleading with him to please to help me to do better, to help to guide me, basically. And I stayed there and prayed for a long time. So long that everybody was leaving for the funeral. I was supposed to give the eulogy, and they were complaining because I wasn't ready. I hadn't finished everything yet. So when I finished praying, I wiped away my tears. I started feeling a little bit of a better feeling. I felt like this prayer had somehow meant something. It had mattered. And I got up, I got myself together. I picked up the eulogy that we had written together with his mother and other people that had contributed. We went to the church, we carried his body in, and I said the eulogy. It was very hard because I was very hurt emotionally. I had missed my cousin, and I felt that it wasn't fair that he was gone. I felt that life is just something that I just felt lost in life. I felt lost by his death. I felt lost by my life and the way I led it. So I kept on. After the funeral, I gave the eulogy. We went to the cemetery, and again, I kept praying to God. I felt like, for some reason, God was answering me, although I couldn't understand it yet. I read the Bible that said that you must look for the signs. So I started looking. I started opening my eyes. I started looking for the signs that God would answer me in. Maybe before I was expecting, you know, for him to answer me, you know, in a different way. But I started looking that there were signs around us, things that would tell us what he wanted. And I kept on reading that. But I also had with me the copy of that book with the Quran, the readings in the Quran. And I started looking more and more into that. And that started interesting, and that started getting my interest a little more. But yet, again, I still kept on going with the Catholic religion. I spent a lot of time talking to my grandma. But I still didn't feel completely comfortable.
Why?
I felt like I wasn't making the connection with God that I wanted. I felt like the questions I had, the things I was looking for, I feel like they weren't giving me them there. I felt like there was something wrong. There was just something missing. You know, they had the right idea, pray to God, but there was still a lot, there was just something missing along with it, and I was missing something there. I can't really explain it, but the only thing I could say is that when I came to Islam, that's when I understood what was missing. I understood that there's a closer connection to God. There's a daily connection. There's a connection with God that I have every minute, every 5 minutes, every 30 seconds, remembrance of God. When I was a Catholic, I didn't feel that. I felt like you have a connection with God, you go see him on Sunday, and that was it. Now I know that it's more than that. It's not one day a week that you remember God, but it's every day, everything you do, everything, every time you eat, every time you drink, every time you think of anything, you remember God in it. And that is something I found in Islam, and it's given me so much peace, so much happiness. After the funeral, I was in my cousin's room that he used to stay in, and I was sleeping in his bed, the cousin that had died. And I remember waking up around just before dawn, and I remember I started praying again. I started asking God again to help me, to guide me, to tell me what to do. And I started feeling in my heart that there were certain things I needed to do. I needed to change my life. Not just a little bit, but a lot. I felt messages coming to me that I needed to go to stop living in New York, which was very hard for me. I've been living in New York for 24 years. To leave New York and go back to my country, to Belize, that there I could find a more peaceful life. I could find maybe some of that peace I was looking for. Because in New York, there was just so many different distractions, so many problems, so many friends that I was relying on that were in fact leading me to the wrong things and not to the right things. So that was something that I felt, one of the messages I received. I also felt that I needed to tell my family that they needed to not be so upset that everything was okay, that my cousin had passed away, he had died, but that somehow it's all alright, that it's all going to work out, and to accept God's plan. I felt like a lot of these messages, that I must take more care of my son, that I must watch over him and try to not, you know, to spend as much time as possible and not let him, you know, get led astray or let him get carried away from me. So there were many things like that I started feeling that God was answering my prayers. He was telling me. He wasn't telling me in words, but he was telling me in my heart. And I started to understand things a little bit. So I kept reading my Bible. I kept looking at the Quran. and not quite understanding it, but looking at it, when I came back to New York, I was already had my mind made up. I was going to be moving back home to Belize. I was going to get my life in shape. I stopped smoking. At that time, I had also given up meat before. I didn't want to eat what I thought was not healthy for me. I was looking for different ways to improve my life and to live my life better. So it just happened that one day I was in Astoria. I have a friend that lives off Steinway Street. And I passed by the store that has Muslim items. It has a lot of Islamic literature, books, clothing. And there was a big sign in front. It said, "Read the Holy Quran." And I looked at the sign, and for some reason, I could not pass by without going in. I went in and I asked the brother, I started talking to the brother who was there and asking him about Islam. I told him I had taken a class in Islam, but I wanted him to tell me more. I told him that I wanted to pray and that I wanted to know how, you know, what more about Islam and if I, you know, and what I could understand about Islam through him. The month of Ramadan had started. And actually, when I heard about Ramadan starting, right away I knew that I wanted to do something for Ramadan. Ramadan was a time that I had understood that you are like reborn. You cleanse yourself of your sins and you show God that you want to renew yourself. You want to do better. You want to start over. And that's what I understood it at the time, even though I didn't understand Islam fully. So at the beginning of Ramadan, I had started fasting. I started praying. I did not know how, but I asked a Muslim friend of mine, and he said that the way you could do it is if you wake up, you don't eat anything or drink anything all day, between sunrise and sunset, and that he told me I could wake up maybe at 4:30 or something like that. I could have a little small breakfast, and I could pray, and then I could fast for the whole day. It would be something good that I could do. I didn't really understand how. I didn't know how to pray. So what I did is I bought a Quran, and I looked through different parts of it, and I picked out certain prayers, certain things that people had prayed in the past, and I picked out maybe 10 parts of it, including the opening. And every morning I'd wake up, I'd have my small breakfast, and I would go ahead and read parts of the Quran. For me, that was my salat. I didn't know how to do the proper salat, but I tried my best anyway. And after a little while, I went to the store that had the Quran sign in the front window. And I told the brother about that, what I was doing. And right away he gave me a book called The Prescribed Method to Prayer. And it teaches you the different prayers 5 times a day. It teaches you what to say, what to do, the different positions. It teaches you the wudu, how to cleanse yourself. It teaches you many of the rules and things that you're supposed to do to do correctly, basically, if you're following Islam.
But at this moment, are you at this moment embracing Islam yet?
Well, I was embracing it, but I just didn't know.
No, you did embrace it, meaning you did commit the shahadatin.
Well, I had done it alone in my home. When I spoke to him, he asked me if I wanted to do it with him.
Okay.
And he said if I wanted to, I could either do it there or I could maybe go into the masjid across the street.
Mm-hmm.
So I told him, well, maybe I should go in there and see how it is just to make sure first. Because I felt it in my heart, but I didn't really know much about Islam. I only knew from a book, but I did not know in reality what it was. So he told me to go at 4:30, go when I'm ready to break my fast, and meet some of the brothers, and talk and pray. So I got my book, I read a little bit of it, and about 2 days later I went in around 4:30, and they did their evening, their prayer just before breaking fast. I got in there and I joined in on the line, and I did not really know what to do. I had just seen it in the book. But I tried to follow as much as I could. I tried to remember as much of the prayers as I could. And I tried to have as much of the intention in my heart as I could. And I felt that was my most important thing I could do. So I did all of that. And then after the prayer was over, everybody lined up and they started eating food. They started handing out food and dishing everybody up. So I got on the line, I got my food, and I still did not know any brothers there. I didn't know. I looked for the guy. I was looking for the friend, the brother who was from the store, although I didn't see him. So I got my food and I started looking around for a friendly face. And I sat down with these two young brothers and I had a little bit of a conversation with them. I learned a little bit about it. They told me that I could talk to a few different people. And then little by little, somebody pointed me in the direction of one of the young brothers from there, an Egyptian brother by the name of Khalid. That first day I was there, he took me under his wing. He started to explain to me as much about Islam as he could. And he was so happy that I was fasting. He was happy that I was praying. He was happy that I was so interested in Islam and that I basically wanted to commit myself to Islam and dedicate myself to it. And I already knew basically from just talking to him and from talking to some of the other brothers. I mean, they took me in like a family member immediately. They talked to me, they helped me in every way possible. They took me down the street to this store where Brother Musa was there. And Brother Musa, to me, was one of the most fabulous people I had ever met because he was so full of happiness. I mean, like, I could see Allah shining through him. I could see a light shining through him. When he smiled and when he spoke to me, I just felt happy being around him. I felt happy and I wanted to learn more. I wanted to learn more about Islam, and I wanted to be a part of this. I knew for many years I had been learning about it and wanting to get more information and to get into it a little more, but now I was here and that was it. I was sure that this was what I wanted. I had already felt it in my heart, and to meet the brothers now, this finally just put the icing on the cake. This made me feel as though this is something that I had been looking for all my life, something that I had been missing out on all my life, something that I needed to find. I feel like I wasn't coming to Islam, like I was coming back, I was returning to Islam. I felt like I was supposed to be here from the beginning, and that somehow along the way I got misled, but I felt like I was home again. So I spent time with the Brother Musa, I spent time with Brother Khalid. There were many other brothers that were very friendly with me. I'd go and eat with them every day, break fast. I would go and pray the night prayers. I would go and spend as much time as I could there. And little by little, I started just feeling happy, content. I felt like I had no more worries, no more problems. I felt like I had come to a point in my life where I had never been before, where I finally found just a feeling of peace. A feeling of peace that I could not find no matter where I looked, whether I looked in money or in women or in any different thing that of this earthly world. I felt like nothing could ever make me feel this happiness and this peace until I found Islam. And that's when I found this peace. And now, here I am. I want to learn more, as much about Islam as I can. I want to be the best Muslim that I can be, inshallah. I want to do the best I can, and I keep praying every day. One of the prayers that I love to pray the most is when I ask God to please to keep me on the straight path, keep me on the right path. I ask Him this over and over, sometimes I repeat it many, many times, because the one thing I don't want to slip, I don't want to fall, I don't want to go away from what I have found. I want to be with God, I want to be close to God. I know, of course, that in the next life, when God resurrects us and He promises us paradise for those of us who are good. I would love to be a part of that as well. But I know that it is reward enough here just to be a part of Islam and to be with God and to serve God here. For me, I feel like that's what I needed to be doing from the beginning. And I'm so happy that now, at 28, some people might think it's early, some people might think it's late. I finally found what I needed to be doing. And I'm very, very happy.
What is your goal in life now?
My goal in life, the main thing is to stay on the right path, to stay with God, to stay with Allah, to serve Allah, to open the eyes of the other people who were blind, who were living the same crazy life I was, or who were maybe not so bad, maybe worse. I want to tell them about it, and I know not all of them can see it, but if I tell some people and I explain to some people, maybe they can see it. Maybe it might take them many years, like it took me. It might take them 1 year or 5 or 10 or 15 years. But at least if I tell them a little about Islam, maybe God, if God's willing, inshallah, He will shine His light on them too. And that's what I would love to do. In my country, I don't know. I don't know about any Islamic community in my country. But I'm going to look for it when I arrive in Belize. And if there's not very much of one, I'll help build it up. I'll help talk to my family. I'll help talk to my friends. I would like to introduce them to the truth. Because when the truth arrives, falsehood must perish, you know? So I'm very happy about that. I feel the truth is the most powerful tool you could ever have. And to know the truth about God, and that He gave us this truth. He gave us the Quran. He gave us, our Prophet, Rasulullah, peace be upon him.
Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, some people can ask you, how you know it is the truth?
I know it's the truth because I feel it in my heart. That's the only way you can know the truth. And that's the way I feel I know it. I feel if somebody tells me something, that is not true, especially about Allah, about God, you will not feel it the same way. You will not feel it but when somebody tells you the truth, when you learn about God and you learn the true path, your heart will just feel warm. Your heart will feel happy. Your heart will feel good and full of love. And that is what I feel. And that's why I know that I cannot be making any mistake with this.
Let me explain something here, because a lot of people misunderstand that. What is the truth? According to Quran and the teaching of Islam, one of the attributes of Allah is the truth. Allah is the truth. Everything else is false, and He is the truth. And if our soul is searching, if our soul is honest and won't really search, He dropped this truth in your heart. He planted it in you. All you have to do to be a seeker and to be honest, sincere to your own Creator. And at this time you will get what you receive. And this is why today a lot of people said we're looking for the truth. But a lot of them in a state of lie. Why? They are slave to the material things, not to really seek the truth. I'm happy, very happy for you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide you more and more. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept you as a true Muslim, a slave to Him, purely to Him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept you as the cause and the key of leading other to guidance. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you and shine you in this life and hereafter with His light and wisdom. Always ask Allah for light. Always ask Allah for wisdom. Always ask Allah for basira, vision. Because the vision located in the heart, not in the eyes. Once Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put this candle of vision in the heart of any human being, this will create a criterion in life. It generate this path. It show you what is the truth, what is false. We call it the light of Allah.
Well, thank you very much, brother. I pray every day that Allah will bestow upon me light. And I am glad that He did. I am so happy. I am so happy that Allah has given me His light. Because before I was lost, but now I am with Allah. I am with Him. He is in my heart. And I'm very, very happy for that.
If I ask you now, is any advice you want to give it to any young people in your age? What is the advice? How you want them to start? Where is he starting from?
Well, they have to, before they can find, usually they have to seek. They have to be looking for something. If they, a lot of young people, they are just happy with the dunya world. They're happy with, they just want to watch TV. They want to go and drink. They want to do, they just want to do a lot of the things that they're told that is the fun things, the better things in life. But I'd like to advise them that there's a lot of things that are taught to them that are not the truth. A lot of things that are given to them that are not good for them, that are not right for them. But if they question things, if they seek the truth, then they could find the truth. And if you accept everything that people just tell you and give you, because many things in this society now are just given to you through TV, through your school, through your friends. And many of these people, most of them I dare say, are very misguided and they are lost themselves. So it's a case of the blind leading the blind. But if you seek the truth, if you question things that are told you and you look for the truth, then inshallah you'll find the truth. And that would be my advice for them, to not just stay in the way they are. Look for more. Look for the truth.
somebody might ask, okay, now where we start? Who we go to?
The first place I would start is looking in their heart first. Look at what they're really, what are they happy with what they're doing? And if they feel like there's more, there's something else in life that they have not found or there's missing somehow, and that would be the first start, their heart. After that, then they could, you know, they could look in different, maybe, I don't know if they'd have to go to a book or they can go to somebody who, I would recommend, if you see somebody who looks like they are living a happy life, a good life, and you see that their life is not full of things that you think, full of problems and sadness and anger and many of the problems of this world, but you see somebody who is happy and living a good, happy life, maybe you should talk to them and find out why. Why are they happy? Why? What did they do? You know, where did they find the truth as well? And a lot of, when I see a lot of my Muslim brothers, a lot of my brothers in Islam, I see that they are happy. I see that they have something more. They have a connection with Allah that has given them so much happiness, so much that many people can't find. So I would say, look for someone happy. Look in your heart first. But after that, then look around you. Question things. Look for knowledge. Look for information, but good information. There's a lot of bad information, unfortunately, out there. And if you see somebody very happy, ask them why. Try to see that. And maybe they could also offer you some advice.
With all respect to you, you're missing something you did by yourself. Do you know what is it?
Refresh my memory, brother.
Okay. The first thing you did is you questioning. Second, you realize the Creator, God, and the existence of God, and the very important to seek God. At this moment, you start begging God. Because actually, the Creator, because I don't like to use the word God, because the word God sometimes is misleading, but I like to use the word the Creator. The Creator, He's the one, once you go to Him, and you ask Him for guidance and for support, He starts channeling you. He will put you in the right path when you're really going to seek Him and find Him. By this way, the first stage, after searching in your heart, find out who you belong to, who you slave to, who you really want to be part with. What do you think?
Yes, I agree, brother. That, for me, was the turning point when I asked God for help. When I turned to Him as the only one who could help me.
That's it.
And when I turned to Him and I asked Him for help, then He gave me the help.
That's it. And the rest is only like a circumstance.
Right.
You know, the Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Creator, He give it to you as answering your prayer and answering your call. Because actually, if you study in Islam, you see, the Creator give us according to what we want. You want to have fun, He will give you fun. You want Him, He will show you His way. Whatever, what do you want, He will show you His way according to what you have in your heart. Ya Allah. Is anything else coming in your heart? What about marriage? What about having a family? Is anything coming in your heart about that?
Well, yes. I already have a son who's 6 years old, and I wanted to be a good father to him more and more. Now, when I came to Islam, I brought him many times with me to pray, and he's only six, so he's just starting, and I'm already introducing him as much to learning about the Creator, learning about Islam, and to pray to Him and to ask Him for help. I've already started to teach him about that. But also, I feel that at this stage, at 28 years old, I feel like for me to find more peace too, of course, I need to find myself a good wife that cannot, instead of, there's many women that could, instead of helping you, could hurt you. But at this stage in my life, I want to find a good wife who could help me so that I can rely on her and she can rely on me to get ahead and go ahead with God's work. And someone that will not keep me back, and somebody who will not not bring my spirit and my love of God down, but rather raise it up. And between the two of us, if we both love God, then it can only grow. And inshallah, God will give us many beautiful children so that we can also teach them as well about Allah.
What about the mother of your boy? Is anything you can do with her?
Well, yes. I feel like she has much of Allah in her already. She took a class. Well, when I was with her, I often spoke with her about Islam. And she took a course in her school about it. And I talk to her a lot now. I give her books. I give her videos to watch. And she watches them sometimes. So I don't know if she's ready yet. But I think that maybe in time that she'll be ready to accept the truth. Maybe it might take a few months or a year, but I keep talking to her. And I feel that she does understand. I talk to her sometimes, I tell her, you know, I feel like you are already in Islam. And she's like, what do you mean? I ask her, well, you believe there is no God but Allah? And she says, yes, I believe. And I ask her if she believes that the Quran was given to us from Allah. And she says, yes. And I ask her, do you believe that Muhammad is the messenger and servant of Allah? And she says, yes. So I tell her, you truly believe all of these things in your heart? And she says that she does. And then I ask her, what are you waiting for? What's going on? You know, and she has other things. She says that she's still waiting to find out more and everything. So inshallah, I hope that I can help her, that she will find more.
Has anybody ever tell you about the pillar of faith, which is a requirement for a person to embrace Islam?
Yes, brother. You had told me about it before.
Okay. Do you remember it?
I need you to refresh my memory again, okay. My brother.
Very simple. Number one is the Creator is one. Is not a male. Is not a female. Is nothing similar to Him. And one of His name, and His name is Allah. He is the Creator, and all of us is a creation. All of us in need of the Creator, and He doesn't need no one of us. This number one. Number two, believe in all messenger and prophet, including Jesus, peace and blessing be upon Him, as the one of the most powerful messenger and prophet of Allah, and He born with a miracle of Allah without no further intervention, and He's not the Son of God. Or the Son of Allah. And we believe in the last prophet, Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him. And we believe in all of them. We believe in all the books, the one revealed by the Almighty, the only one, the Creator, Allah. We believe in the Day of Judgment. We believe in Paradise and Hellfire. We believe in the angels. We believe in life after death. We believe of the judgment day, and everybody is responsible of his own action. And we believe of destiny, good and bad. This you call it the sixth or the seventh pillar of faith. Don't ever forget that. Why? Anybody, I go to them step by step, because the majority of people actually is a Muslim and they do not know. The majority of people just say, I'm a Christian or a Catholic or even a Jew or whatever, just because they want to belong to something. But they're not studying, they're not searching, they're just hanging there. But the heart is empty. By this way, what they have really, they have Islam inside, hidden. It's almost like a tiny dot hidden inside. It needs somebody to clean it and show it up and shine it and put it in the right path. And that's it. And the majority of people like that. The majority of people is very simple. By this way, you do not need to go through a lot of complication. Just the basic. And once you go the basic, the rest is very open.
Alright, thank you, brother.
And after that, you know, I advise you, inshallah, when we talk in Belize, don't talk too much about Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the beginning. Wait until they believe in the message. The message by itself, even without the word Quran. After that, show them this is the message of the Creator. Is anything you want to add?
Well, I want to just add one message that my brother keeps reminding me of. He says that he knows I'm new to Islam, and he says that there's many things that I have to learn. My brother Khalid, he's the Egyptian brother that first started teaching me a lot about when I first came into the masjid. And he tells me over and over that the Prophet, peace be unto him, the first 13 years, I believe, that the only thing he would teach over and over is the oneness of Allah, that there's only one God, just one Allah, and that he created all of us and everything. And he told me that if it took them 13 years to learn that, that he knows that right now we have many other things that Allah has given us to learn as well. So as long as we have that, that's the first step, and then the rest is beautiful, and the rest we'll learn, you know. Right. So I feel very happy when my brother tells me that.
Sure. Now let me ask you a question. Now you're raising a beautiful topic and a beautiful question. If this is a one message this brother give it to you, okay, now how I can do that? Do you know how?
I love to hear you explain it to me, brother.
Very simple, which a lot of people miss it. What happened is the Creator is one. To really know the oneness of God, the oneness of the Creator, you have to know Him first. Before you know anything, even before you know His revelation, you have to know Him. You have to really establish this connection. The love, the fear, the respect, the dignity, the closeness, the bond, the embracing. All this do not take one word. This take a lot of effort. And this effort, the easiest way and the shortest way is to get the most beautiful name of Allah, the attribute of Allah. And start not study it as study it, more than start comprehend it inside your heart and call Allah with it. For example, when He tell you, I'm the provider, you have to feel it deep down. He is the provider, is not me. He is the light. I seek light by Him. He is the powerful. If I'm weak, I seek Him. He is the forgiveness. If I fall down, I ask Him to forgive me. You see? He is the doer. He is the protector. He is the guider. He is the wise. By this way, any quality you're looking for, you will find He is the owner of all the quality. By this way, if I'm missing any quality, which all of us missing everything, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tell us, come to me, I am the owner of all quality, I will give you whatever you're missing. But we're not even calling Allah for this quality. We're running after different things, and we forget the main quality which we need. By this way, in your journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to Islam, you need to really surrender and submit by try to really get closer to Allah and get to know Allah, get to know who's a prophet. Just by get to know them, you will love them, you respect them, you will generate a certain bond. This bond will generate a light. This light will generate a vision. This vision will generate a criterion. This criterion will show you which way to go. Don't ever forget that the most beautiful name of Allah is the core of everything, because it is the juice of the whole thing. Because what is it? It's the quality, it's the attribute.
Alhamdulillah.
Anything else coming in your heart?
Well, brother, just that I'm very happy. I'm happy that Allah has given me His light. And I want to live with that light and for that light. I want to live for Allah and dedicate my whole life to Allah, doing His works on this world. Everything that He can ask me to do, everything I can think of to do for Him, that's what I would like to do. Inshallah.
Jazakallah kulli khair, brother Isa. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala support you in your mission, because He's the only one can give support. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide you. He's the only one can give guidance. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you light. He's the only one can give light. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you wisdom. He's the only one, the owner of wisdom. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you a useful knowledge. He's the owner of all the knowledge. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you comprehending, which a lot of people misunderstand. Because knowledge, it needs comprehending. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you comprehending. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. Because blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He bless somebody, that's it.
Assalamu
alaikum. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My dear brother and sister in Islam, we see brother Isa, and by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I feel happy when I meet new Muslim. I feel they have something we do not have. What they have? They have sincerity. They have a pure light of Allah. They heard the word of Allah, and they want to search and seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My message to myself first, and all of us, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to realize who we are, what we're doing here, what is our mission in this life, what we want to accomplish in this life, and what we're going to take when we die. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open our eyes to realize the ultimate is to work for Allah, the ultimate to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ultimate to seek the pleasure of Allah. And what more to seek the pleasure of Allah than helping other to know who's Allah, than helping other to prostrate to the ground and say, Allahu Akbar, Allah is the greatest. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to work for Allah. Because like we say, like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, وَمَا تَوْفِيقِي إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. My ability only by the will of Allah. Without the will of Allah, I cannot go anywhere. By this way, always I ask, oh Allah, give me the ability, give me the tawfiq. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us as a worker for Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us as the only pure worker for Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who love Allah and love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and love Islam and all our job to live for Allah and for Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala end up our life with a pure Islam to Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put us in a grave with Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala resurrected us with Islam. Like one of the early people, he used to say, five words, I'm living with it. La ilaha illallah, akhlu biha wahdi. لا إله إلا الله أفني بها عمري لا إله إلا الله يغفر بها ذنبي لا إله إلا الله أدخل بها قبري لا إله إلا الله ألقى بها ربي. This man, he used to say, I need five words, I live with it. No one worthy of worship except Allah. I spend my time with it. La ilaha illallah. I spend my energy and all my life for it. La ilaha illallah. I die with it. La ilaha illallah. I enter the grave with it and Allah forgive me with it. La ilaha illallah. Allah resurrected me with it. And this is the ultimate anyone can want. Because no higher than that. The whole earth and what it contains, the whole kingdom of Allah created only for us to realize who's Allah. And to really go back and said, who deserve of thanks? Who deserve of gratitude and sure thanks, except the one who created me, the one he showered me with his bounty, and this Islam. This is the call to Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invite us to the true Islam. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك، أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت، أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. سبحانك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، والتابعين بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. آمين آمين يا رب العالمين.